This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to Making Biblical Family Life Practical, where we try to take the truths and principles of Scripture and apply them to the 21st century family. And we want to welcome you to our family here. I'll tell you, we had several weeks ago, I guess a couple of months ago, actually, we had an event on our Facebook page. And if you haven't been there, you ought to go. It's facebook.com/raisingrealmen. We topped 51,000 fans today here.
That's pretty exciting,
yeah,
Hal.
That's tremendous. But we had an event out there, I guess, back in June, and one of the questions we asked was, what has been or what was your biggest struggle as a parent? And we got 36 pages of answers. I copied them all out, and we just a world of things, everything from I'm a girl and I don't understand boys to really complex, serious problems that need, you know, you need some family counseling on this one.
You know what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
There were an awful lot, probably the majority, that dealt with a particular stage of parenting.
Yeah, and a lot of them mentioned things there, and they didn't connect it with that phase, but we found it there, and it really seems like a lot of times the struggles that people have at certain points of their child's lives really have their roots a good bit earlier.
Yeah, it just stuns me because I remember walking through the zoo in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and it was such a hot day. And I had two children in the double stroller and one child hanging on to each side.
Okay.
And I was completely overwhelmed. And I remember somebody talking to me and saying, are they all yours? And I said, yes, they're all mine. And she said, you think it's hard now. Just wait till they're teenagers.
Thanks a lot.
Honestly.
Well, that's helpful.
I was just crushed because I thought, I can't take any harder than this. This is too hard for me. But, you know, what was interesting to me, Hal, is the teenagers have been great.
Yeah, they have. I mean, and, you know, we've got, there's certain challenges that you meet, and those, you know, I think those are endemic. Everybody has those. But all in all, I'd say our young people's teenage years have been very, you know, relatively trouble-free.
Yeah.
They have gone smoothly. We have enjoyed the time that we spend with them. You know, it's been something which we're very thankful for. We've been blessed in that regard.
It really has. It's been a blast. And, you know, what's interesting, though, is that those preteen years have been tough. Oh my word. Like, you know, okay, here's this kid, and he looks the same as he did yesterday. There's no changes outwardly that you can see.
Right.
But suddenly you say something you said to him 100 times before, like, hey, son, change your shirt. That shirt's filthy. Don't go anywhere wearing that. And he loses it, completely freaks out.
Yeah, like, how has that been a That wasn't a problem on Tuesday. Why is it a nuclear level of alert on Wednesday?
Yeah, because on Wednesday he's saying, you're always criticizing me. How dare you criticize me? You never criticize my sister like that. You don't talk to my brother like that. But you're always talking me down. You just don't, you don't care about me.
Hello.
Hi there.
That was, yeah, you know, and that
and
kind
I'm
of
like,
thing.
What happened?
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. Well, I mean, it's a shock. It was a shock to us. And the first time, you know, our story, we've shared it before, I think, we were blessed with just the most wonderful kids, and we started homeschooling early because they asked us to. Wow,
yeah.
This is great. And everything went swell. And, you know, a couple of years in, we're thinking, man, homeschooling's terrific, and our kids are geniuses, and we are awesome parents, and it's all brilliant. And then they hit about 9 years old is when we see it. About
yeah.
9 years old.
Well, okay. Some of them hit at nine. One of them, that one across the room, hit it when he was like 13.
Yeah, but I mean, generally.
Somewhere in that 9 to 12 or 13 age range It's like everything changes and you can't see any changes.
Something happened. Yeah. And it was a shock to us because
You know, it's not just the emotional stuff. They get on this emotional roller coaster and then they invite you to join them.
But it's
also they're going through spiritual depth. I remember one of ours looked at me in the car and said, he was 9 or 10 or something, and said, I think I'm an atheist. And I drove off the road. This is a child that we had prayed for since he was conceived.
Oh, and he was
a model of God at 6 years old. He's playing that he's John the Baptist and quoting the Ten Commandments.
I don't know. We're teaching him the catechism and we're memorizing scripture and everything.
The Baptist catechism, folks.
Yeah, it's just everything is just swell. And then suddenly he just decides, okay, I'm going to go like full existential here at age 9. It's like,
honestly.
What?
Yeah.
What?
And it's not just the spiritual and the emotional.
Right.
But school.
What school?
Good grief. You know, a kid who could do Latin and math and grammar 2 years ahead of his age range, do science, super duper student, like at 11 years old.
Yeah.
I did a graphic for Facebook that showed a train wreck because school just became a total train wreck.
Well, it did.
Yeah, it took all day long to get one subject done. And this is when you
take that child who is a precocious learner and a very obedient, compliant child, easy to raise, very thoughtful, seems to love Jesus and have a spiritual life going on there. And then suddenly everything went wrong, and it was like an alien abduction. Like somebody else was substituted into his skin.
It's like the Hulk. Like he must have gotten, he got some radiation in him or something. He turned into a different thing. Yeah, it's really unsettling. In fact, the first time it happened, Hal, I thought we had failed. I thought we had totally failed.
Yeah, because this is like all of the wrong outcomes. Everything here, and at 9 years old, you think, well, it only goes downhill from here.
Because they told us the teen years would be horrible.
Oh, no. Oh, we're going to be starting and going down.
But that's not true, because the teen years were great. Those preteen years, there's some pretty horrible moments.
Yeah.
But they're less horrible if you understand what's going on and you're not freaking out. And I got to say, I was freaking out when this first happened.
I thought
we were just had completely lost it. That we had failed, we were losing his heart, that everything had gone wrong, that we couldn't get anything right. And I'll be real frank.
It was harder because I was all puffed up with pride at how wonderful everything was in our relationship and our home and our homeschooling and everything. I thought, man, we have got this beat.
Yeah,
we have got this figured out. And then when it blew up in my face like that, I felt like, not only am I worried about my son, but I'm feeling really ashamed of myself too. Oh, man, I have just been so foolish.
Well, I think when we homeschool, we consider our kids a referendum on us.
Yeah.
And, our kids have free will.
Yeah.
Our kids are able to choose to do right or do wrong, choose to follow Christ or not.
That's a scary truth.
But, the thing is, it got better. That we figured out what was going on and we were able to deal with it and able to turn it around.
Yeah.
And I really wish I had known that sooner because we had a lot of grief with those first few children before we started realizing, we've seen this before.
That's the kind of thing because, eventually when the light shines bright enough, something will start to reflect. And,
after you've seen something 3, 4, 5, 6 times, even the dimmest bulb begins to get some light.
And that was a relief. And I think about most families, the average typical American nuclear family with 2.1 children or whatever it is right now, they don't get to see it over and over. They see it one time, everything blew up, and then either it gets better or it doesn't, and they say, well, that's just the way it is. And especially if they have like a boy and a girl and things, in some ways, things are different with girls than they are with boys. And so they might think, well, it's just my strange daughter or it's just my, my really, my really rotten hearted son or whatever. And they just, they muddle through and they don't realize what's been going on because they haven't gotten to see it multiple times. And, you know, most of us grew up in small families. I think most of us are surrounded by small families. And so there's not a big, you know, pool of experience to say, you know what, if you have four or five kids, you start to realize what reality looks like.
You know, and this I want to say before we get to the break, okay?
Yeah.
I think that we need to change our attitude about the preteen years.
And radically.
Radically. And realize that, yes, it's difficult, but it is a tremendous time of opportunity. Because when you handle the preteen years in a godly way, and you can get through the preteen years with the relationship mm-hmm. between parent and child intact, man, oh, man, the teen years are great.
Well, you know, Paul Tripp, I think, has a book called The Age of Opportunity, dealing with how do you parent teenagers. And, you know, there's wisdom just in that in that book title.
But the foundation for those teen years is laid in the preteen years.
Yes. And
that's what we've really seen because, you know, when they start losing it, if you lose it back at them and you start screaming back and you're losing your temper and you're acting just as irrational and emotional as they are, which it's hard not to do, honestly.
Right.
It's hard not to do. But if you act like they do, then you just convince them that their irrational thoughts are wrong.
You've confirmed them. Not that they're wrong, but that their irrational thoughts are correct.
I mean,
because you've confirmed it. Well, it looks like we've reached the point where we talk about things that might be helpful resources.
Okay, and so let's just take a minute here.
Yeah.
And we're coming right back to show you how you can make the preteen years great, okay?
Right.
We have received so many questions about this critical 9 to 12 or even 13 or 14 in some kids, okay?
Yeah.
But this 9 to 12 preteen years that we put together something called Boot Camp 9 to 12.
Yeah, and this is not for the kids.
Maybe yes, get emails say, where do I send them?
Yes, I can't do anything with my 9-year-old. Where do I drop him off?
Sorry, you can't drop him off in our house.
This is training for you parents.
This is for the parents.
This is encouragement. This is empowerment. This is stuff that will really help because this is the things that we finally got, you know, pushed into our head, and we realized, you know what, nobody told us to expect this. We weren't prepared for it. We didn't recognize when it happened, what it was, and I wish somebody had told us. And so we decided, okay, let's be the person that tells them. Let's go out and let's help our friends who have preteen sons. You have kids that are reaching 7, 8, 9 years old, and they need to be, you know, hey, you know, this is what's coming up.
And so we talk about the emotional stuff, we talk about school, we talk about purity and the internet and gaming, and we talk about
the
finances and entrepreneurship, homeschooling high school or getting them through high school, and we talk about coming-of-age ceremonies and how to help them see themselves as young adults.
That's
We're
fun
starting
stuff.
A new session. Hundreds of parents have been through this.
Yeah.
Starting a new session tomorrow night. Go to raisingwomen.com/bootcamp.
Right.
Sign up.
And see, the nice thing is it's all recorded. So if you're listening to this on iTunes and maybe it's a week or two after we broadcast it, you know what? You can still sign up. You can get the recorded version and catch yourself up and then still get the last couple of three classes where it's interactive and you can ask your questions and get your particular concerns dealt with. Okay.
And if you live in North Carolina, Virginia, South Carolina, somewhere where you can get there, we're going to do this in person in one weekend, November 7th and 8th. In the Raleigh area, go to raisingwomen.com/Raleigh when you can see us live in person talking about this stuff.
That's
Let's
right.
get back to it. Okay, what do they do, Hal? Okay, first of all, what's going on? What's going on? It's hormones, people. The hormones are affecting your children. They're changing the way they feel. You know, I get hormonal, but I'm old enough I can recognize it.
Yeah, I wonder how it was when you were a girl. Remember when
I was pretty irrational.
Started? Yeah.
I was pretty irrational.
Remember when you started getting hormonal as a girl?
I had no idea what was going on.
No, but, you know, it all looked real to you at the time.
And PMS is so recognizable that, you know, your mom says, honey, look, you're going through PMS. But with these, our family call it PMS pre-manhood syndrome.
Yeah.
Only it lasts a couple of years instead of a couple of days.
Yeah.
But they're going through, these hormones are affecting their emotions, and they don't know why. They think emotions are real. It's affecting the way they think. It's affecting them physically, and they don't know what's going on.
And because it's messing with their brains, it's messing with their mind and their thought process, it spills over into their spiritual walk.
It spills
over into what do they believe, who do they trust.
And
their epistemology
school.
Gets all goofed up.
Okay, let's talk about how to manage it now. Okay, we got to give these people some hope, okay, because they know what a wreck things are.
All right, well, here's the first thing. I mean, got to say this, and you just kind of brushed past it there. It lasts a couple of years. Guess what? You will get through this period.
It will
pass. Their
brains congeal again, honestly.
Yeah, if your family life is like a canoe and you've hit a patch of white water, it doesn't get faster and faster until you sail over Niagara and end up in a crushed heap at the bottom. Okay.
Boy, that is exactly the way I felt the first time we went through.
The way we thought it's only going to get worse. But you know what? It doesn't have to.
Water calms down.
The water levels out. Now, the question is, which direction will it flow when it levels out? And this is where
you wrecked your canoe by the time you get there.
You have so much opportunity if you come at this. If you can take real deep breath. You remember your childbirth classes? take deep breaths and calm
yourself. Take a deep breath before you say anything.
That's some of the best advice I ever got when I started doing like media events and interviews with TV and stuff like that. And they said, well, when a reporter asks you a question, always take a breath. Really?
Yeah,
because it calms you down. And, if it's an
important
conversation,
gives you a second to think.
It gives you a second to think. You'd be amazed how much oxygen helps.
It stops you from popping off at the mouth when you really ought to be stopping what's about to come out.
That's right. And you don't get red in the face as quickly either. But, okay, so that's your first thing of hope.
Take a deep breath.
It does get better.
Now's your chance to use that Lamaze breathing.
And you can have an impact on not just getting through the next 2 or 3 years, but all the way through high school graduation is going to be impacted by this.
Well, really their whole lives. Because, our enemy tries to use this time as a time to cause a breach between you and your child.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can maintain that relationship during that time, then they will trust you during the teen years and the early adult years, and you can be that trusted advisor that they desperately need.
Right. Exactly right.
But the first thing I do is control your temper. I mean, honestly, and this is hard for me. I have a hot temper. My veins stand out. This has been really hard, but it's so rewarding because when you hold your temper, and I mean beyond even just not yelling or sounding angry, but like, shut up and listen for a while.
But listen to my child.
Yeah, listen to them. Let them talk a while.
I mean, they're just kids, and now what was just a normal kid has become crazy talk.
They're about to be men and women.
Okay.
And
if they live that long.
And if you treat.
Will we live to see it?
Will we live to see it? Will we all be gray or bald by the time they get there? Hmm. Sometimes you wonder. But if you listen to them.
Uh-huh.
If you take them seriously, take the relationship seriously, because see, everything in them is saying, my parents don't like me, they don't love me, they don't care about me.
And I don't really like myself, and it just proves it.
And when you start yelling at them, it proves it.
Yeah.
But when you say, okay, look, I want to hear what you got to say. Tell me what's on your heart. And if I've done something wrong, I'll repent. I'm a believer.
Mm-hmm.
But let me hear what's going on with you. Often they get themselves out of that irrationality once they start talking about it and sharing it. Shocks them so much that you listen, that somebody does care.
I remember a pastor gave us a book years ago when we were dealing with temper issues with one of our younger children. And I remember the advice that was given. I think it might be Richard Fugate's book. I believe he said, there's a time when the person that you're dealing with is not receptive to what you have to say.
Yeah.
If you're a parent and you have to do some sort of correction or discipline, or you have to have some of that intense fellowship, as we call it, if that person is not receptive at all, if they are in an emotional whirl or they're in a state of high temper or something, you're just speaking into the wind.
The Word of God says it's not very complimentary.
What?
Something about swine.
About
casting pearls before.
Well, I was thinking more about a soft answer turns away wrath, because you know what.
So really, both. We've got to be quiet and listen first. I'm not saying let them get away with disrespect.
No.
But when we listen first, we show that we're invested in the relationship, that we love them, that we care for them. And often, just as they talk, they get out of that hormonal surge,
uh-huh.
and they realize that what they're saying is
oops.
Nuts.
Yeah. They'll say, I'm not making any sense, or am I? But when they're calm,
you can discipline them. In fact, I've had a child before that I've said, okay, you know, I know you're repentant, but you were very disrespectful in front of the other children, and I have to discipline you for their sake.
Mm-hmm.
And the child, and I've had a young man that say, you know, you're right. You got to do something.
You know, this is another important point. And this should encourage those of you who, like us, have a child who seems to be a believer early on and then goes through this rough water and you start to doubt. You know, the nice thing is the Holy Spirit works on hearts.
Yeah.
You know, we work on the outside and we hope that it's getting in there. We hope that really what we're saying is being used by the Holy Spirit, but we can't change their hearts.
Yeah.
But wow, God can do it.
His word can.
And it's, you know, that should be an encouragement to you, because you don't have to win in the sense of it all depends on me to be clever enough or powerful enough or whatever. But you know what? God is in charge of your heart and your child's heart and your relationship, and you do what you have to do to be faithful to God, and God will work in that child's heart as he sees fit, as he sees the need.
And give the Holy Spirit room to work. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that means we need to calm down and not speak first, but wait and speak later.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me, though, that we've been through a lot of these things.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times, irrational, angry child, sit down, listen to them. They go through all kinds of crazy stuff. We take them to the Word of God, take them to reality.
Mm-hmm.
And deal with it after they've calmed down.
Yeah.
You know, those same kids are grown-ups now.
Yeah.
And they are men that are walking with God.
Oh, and we are proud of them.
And
we are proud of them every day.
And I wish I had known then that one day they would be strong, godly men walking with God.
That would have been encouraging.
Because, you know, it seems so impossible then. But there really is real hope. It's just that this time is a transition between the time when you're in complete control and you can make them do what you want them to do.
Right.
And the time when you have no control, they've got to control themselves. It's got to be from their heart.
Right.
And this is a transition time, and it is your opportunity to reach their hearts.
Right. Or, if you're insensitive, if you run roughshod over that tender little person in front of you.
I know they don't look tender. They look like porcupines.
No, but they're soft and squishy on the inside, no matter how bristly on the outside. And if you blow it really bad, you could damage your relationship, or you could allow a relationship to build up, which is going to be very difficult to overcome in later years. And there's, you know, God can do all kinds of things, even in the worst sort of situations. In fact, we're going to be talking with somebody in a few weeks, I think, about the problem of the true prodigal child.
Yeah.
Okay, and we're looking forward to that, although it's going to be a tough conversation, I bet. But, you know, you've got an opportunity here if you can be the grown-up.
Yeah, somebody's got to be the adult around here.
You know, God gave your children parents. He didn't give them a panel to have discussions with, especially in the younger years.
Yeah.
They need guidance, they need direction, they need discipline. And, you know, sometimes we get some notions in our heads about, our children are just naturally innocent, so we should leave them alone and let them discover their goodness themselves.
Well, having a 9 to 12-year-old will put you out of that.
Yeah, I would think keeping your eyes open should prove that something. That's an untenable theory. But, you know, this is... I guess we're saying it over and over again because we needed to hear it so badly. Don't give up.
This is a challenging time for us.
It is hard.
And yet we're shepherding our sixth and seventh child through this time right now.
Yes, together.
And you know what?
Yeah.
it's a difficult time for us. It's been the most challenging time to parent a child.
And there's particular incidents that come up, children with particular problems or challenges, and you know, and hard times in life, is those kind of things happen. But consistently, we would say that the biggest, the most challenging part of parenting is not the toddler years. It's not for us the teenage years. It's this period right here.
Well, you know what? I think if you blow this time, if the relationship is fractured and you come out of this time hostile to each other, I think the teen years get even worse.
Well, you mentioned an important word earlier, trust.
Yeah.
You know, that if you can maintain your relationship, maintain not only the respect that they show to you, which, you know, God commands them to, but when you show them respect as well and build a relationship of trust and say, hey, my parents are on my side. They do treat me like another human being. You know, that becomes more and more important as they age through this process. If you can keep that kind of relationship going, the challenges of the teen years become much smaller.
Well, let me say this. I know a lot of people are thinking, well, what about school? You haven't said anything about that. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. The emotional stuff is what's really a struggle mm-hmm. for us to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
In the Camp 9 and 12, we're going to talk about how to motivate them to do school, how to prepare them for high school. We're going to talk about how do you deal with the gaming and the internet and the filth on the internet. How mm-hmm. do you protect them from that? We'll talk about all that stuff. We didn't have yeah. time in a half an hour. In fact, we didn't just really brush the surface of the emotional stuff.
But we wanted to encourage you and say, hey, this is...
There is yes, hope.
Yeah, it's not in your head. And guess what? You're not alone.
It's perfectly normal.
It's funny because we, you know, when we do this webinar, the first session where we go over this all of this information in much greater depth, the flow of comments is always, you must have a camera in my house.
How did you know?
How did you know?
I thought
Are you monitoring us?
No,
it's not just you. It's just the age. It's the period of life they're going through and that you're going through as parents with them. And so, you know, you can find this your way through this with grace. And
yes.
we know where grace comes from. It comes from God.
Yeah.
Okay. And that is what we all need. We need grace from God to manage ourselves, and we need to be able to give grace to our children.
Boy,
they need it.
They need it. They
need
it
so
badly at this time.
Yeah. And so,
and you know what? So when you feel like you're going to lose your mind, mm-hmm. if you failed as a parent, when you're going upstairs and hiding in your room, recognize it's going to get better. It's a time period you got to get through, but you got to get through it in a godly way.
That's right. So, again, we want to encourage you. If you have never been through our boot camp 9 to 12, now we teach it from a perspective of parents of boys, but you know what? We've got girls who are reaching that age, and guess what?
Same things are happening.
The same, it takes a little different spin, but
more tears, less anger.
Yeah, but it's still there. And you know what? This could be an encouragement to you, even if you are raising girls.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is, but.
So we start the webinar. Now, let's explain how this works. Because
yeah,
somebody asked
yeah.
us on the Facebook page, and she said, I don't know what you mean by webinar. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll give you a chance. We have a particular software platform online.
Yeah.
You'll log in there, and you'll hit launch class, and it'll open a window. It'll have a video of us live from our living room.
Yep.
And slides and audio from us and a chance for you to chat and interact with us and with the other attendees the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
After we present the information for that week,
yep.
we'll talk as long as you guys want to talk.
Yeah, we'll take questions.
Ask us anything. Boy, and we've gotten some wild questions.
Yeah.
But we take questions. It's interactive. It's a lot of fun.
And if you have to miss it, or if you have to leave in the middle of the class because it's time to put the baby down or whatever, it's all recorded. You can go back and listen to it as often as you want to afterwards.
Yeah. And in fact, we invite alumni to come join us again at a later date if they want to.
That's right.
For the same webinar series. Because sometimes you just need a refresher when I have that another child come through.
You know what? I just sent out an invitation to over 550 families
wow.
to join us on this run. This is class number 13. We have done this series 13 times.
Wow.
And It's been a blessing to us. It's been a good reminder to us because we've had people going through this time period all along. And, you know, now we're just looking forward to meeting another batch of parents and building one another up.
Okay, now that's online.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to be live in person in the Raleigh area November 7th and 8th.
That's right. We're going to be doing it in a seminar format. So it'll be a Friday night and then all day Saturday.
Yes.
And that will be sponsored by Grace Christian Fellowship in Garner, North Carolina, which is a suburb of Raleigh.
Yeah.
Raleigh.
And so if you're wanting to join us online, go to raisingrealmen.com/bootcamp.
Uh-huh.
If you want to join us live in person in the Raleigh, North Carolina area,
yep,
go to raisingrealmen.com/Raleigh.
It's R-A-L-E-I-G-H.
Yes, and we would love to see you and meet you.
We really would.
All right. Hell, we're out of time.
It's time
to say goodbye, folks. Hope it's been an encouragement to you.
We'll look forward to joining you again next week as we look at making biblical family life practical. Thanks, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HALANDMELANIE.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalAndMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.